Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, Father, we stand before you now in your presence, and God, we thank you that you're here, and we thank you that you are here to do a great and mighty and powerful thing. We're grateful, God, that your heart is for us and not against us. That you're a good God, Lord, that you want to work mightily right here in this house here this morning. That there is someone, maybe several, that are going to be touched eternally today. And so, Spirit of the living God, have your way. In spite of my inadequacies and weaknesses and everything else, Lord, you have your way. And be strong here in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, and if you listen to me, if you agree, if you want to see and long for somebody's life to be changed today, if you hunger for the kingdom of God to be demonstrated in our midst, say amen.
Amen,
amen, amen, and amen. All right. I know we hadn't taken the offering and we hadn't done the offering song, but that's okay. We just need to go right now. I know that. And so everybody down in the chapel, everybody all over the campus, and our friends who are watching online, God bless you. Get ready, get ready, get ready. So this is 4th of July weekend, Independence Day weekend. This is when we celebrate our freedom from England. You might call it Brexit 1776. But this is that. We're on that weekend here. And, you know, this is that time we want to for sure thank those from the bottom of our hearts who have fought to defend our freedom and even given their lives so that we could remain free. And so we recognize our freedom, our independence, and thank those who have paid the price for that. It's been said that there are two people who have died for your freedom, the American soldier and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are grateful this morning to both of them. This morning, however, I want to discuss the freedom that Jesus Christ offers. For some of you, it's going to be a reminder. For someone else, I think this is going to be an invitation. Listen, I know it's 4th of July weekend, and you weren't even supposed to really be here today, but somehow you ended up in Leaper's Fork at 9 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of people singing with their hands raised up, and you're not even really sure what's going on this morning. But God knows what's going on, and he's here to touch your life if you'll let him. This isn't preacher talk. This isn't church talk. This is kingdom of God talk from someone who's been changed and delivered forever, sitting in the midst of a people. I want to ask you, has anybody here been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. He's here to do that this morning. Now, this issue of freedom, I'm going to state the obvious, but it's okay. This issue for freedom, like, where does it come from? Whose idea is this whole thing? Who is the person behind freedom? Let me tell you who it is. It's God. Freedom is God's idea. Isn't that good to know? We've got a good God. And so because he's good, freedom is God's idea. The true and living God, Almighty God. He is all about freedom. All you have to do is look into the scriptures and see. You can go all the way back to the children of Israel. We could start there, all the way back to the book of Exodus. The children of Israel in Egyptian slavery and bondage. And what does God say? God says, hey, enough of this. He raises up Moses to be a freedom deliverer. And he says, Moses, I want you to go in, and you look at all that Egyptian Pharaoh, you look at him straight in the face and tell him, hey, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Because God is a God about freedom and deliverance. And friends, let me tell you something. God has not stopped saying, let my people go. That's just not some ancient historical thing. God throughout the ages has continued to say to every enemy force, let the people of God go. And anybody who will hear that word and mix it with faith will be set free by the power of Almighty God. That's just how this thing works. We've got watered down this concept of salvation just being some prayer at the end of a service, and we kind of leave the same thing. Salvation means transformation. Salvation means freedom and deliverance. It means us being changed eternally. And God is the one who's behind that, saying, I want to change you in a way that you could only dream of, but it's real and it's present and it's yours for the taking. So God says, let my people go. The issue isn't, is God willing for you to be free? The issue is, are you willing to receive God's freedom? God is willing. It's part of who he is, and it's what he does. We think about the fact that the scripture goes on from the book of Exodus all the way throughout until we get to the book of Isaiah. And this picture is painted for us of the ultimate freedom giver. A picture is written for us so that we can see what this ultimate freedom giver and deliverer would do for us and what he would be for us. And so the prophet Isaiah, God speaking through him a word of prophecy. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2 says this: the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We're talking about the person who is behind freedom. It is God in Christ. It is God saying, I want to set people free from slavery. It is God saying there is an ultimate freedom giver coming. And it is the prophet Isaiah who then writes and says, here's what I'm hearing from heaven. There is someone coming who is going to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives. And he's going to open prison doors for people who are bound. This isn't just poetic talk. This is spiritual kingdom power and reality for anyone who will say yes to it. And so the person behind freedom is God in Christ. It's foretold and prophesied. And then something happens, because the one who was foretold shows up on the scene, and his name is Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is gonna sound familiar. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, said Jesus, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, ooh, what a moment. He began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, the God of freedom, who foretold that the ultimate freedom giver would come, has come. And he's come with power to set people free. Free from sin's slavery, free from sin's power, and free from sin's penalty. Jesus is here, and he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, if we just go through this list for a minute, let's listen to this. Listen to what Jesus actually says about why he came. He came to give freedom to people who are bound by spiritual poverty. People who are dead inside, as Pastor Jonathan even shared as we started the service, who are dead in trespasses and sins. People who are spiritually dead, bankrupt, broke spiritually, empty inside. Jesus said, I have come to free you from that spiritual poverty. He said, I've also come to free you, to set you free from brokenheartedness. People whose lives have been ravaged by the ways of this broken world, and it has produced brokenheartedness in them. Jesus is not intimidated by it. He's not scared of it. He doesn't cower. He doesn't wonder if he can heal it. He says with confident authority, I have come to set people free from brokenheartedness. He said, I have come to set people free from captivity. Captivity. Things that hold you and bind you and keep you tied up and locked up and paralyzed. Jesus doesn't look at the chains that the enemy of our soul puts on us and start backing up, wringing his hands, sweating profusely. He doesn't think, oh God, who's gonna help these people? Jesus looks at our captivity and says, I have come. I don't know what Jesus you read about in your Bible. I don't know what Jesus you have experienced or not experienced. I'm telling you the Jesus that I've known for 35 years. He is chain-breaking Jesus. He is captivity-releasing Jesus. He said, I've come to do that. I have come to give recovery of sight to people who are blind. I've come to give you your sight back. You are wandering in blindness and darkness and groping and meandering and trying to find your way. Jesus said, I have come to set you free from that so you can have vision and sight about what's right in life and the course that you're to take. Jesus said, I have come to set people free from oppression. Isn't it interesting? He makes the distinction between people who are held captive and people who are oppressed. He says, I got them both. I can take care of them both. Whatever it is that oppresses, the monkey on your back, the baggage that you carry, the things, the trauma that you've experienced, things that would cause you to look down continually instead of looking up for hope in life. Jesus said, I have come to free you from that oppression. Amen. You see, we either believe this or not. And if we don't believe this, you know what? We don't get set free. We stay in our oppression. We stay in our captivity. But as someone who is far from being perfect but has been set free, who has been delivered, I want to tell you, you can have it. You can get it. It can be yours. Get you some. I'm crawling out of my skin this morning because I'm afraid that people think that it's just the words of the preacher. These aren't the words of the preacher. These are the words of a pilgrim who has traveled this road and is here to bring you good news. Quit playing around. Quit staying oppressed. Quit staying locked up and let Jesus do it for you. Religion can't do it for you. Church can't do it for you. But Jesus can do it for you. He came. He came to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Some of your Bibles might say, he came to announce it is the year of God's favor. So what does that mean? It means that he came to set people free from hopelessness. You think there's no favor, there's no blessing for your life, there's no goodness of God for your life. Jesus said, I've come to fix that. I'm here to tell you God is alive, God is good, God is for you, and God will touch your life if you'll respond with just the littlest bit of faith. If you'll give him access and permission to work in your life, he will. Let him. Jesus came to give you freedom. He is the person behind freedom. Now there's the promise of freedom. Freedom, beloved, comes with a guarantee, a promise, a declaration. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 8, verse 31. And Jesus said to those Jews who first believed in him, it's crucial. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And then you're gonna know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. I read this and go, bros, what are you talking about? You're under Roman bondage as you say that. The Jews historically have been in bondage because of their rebellion and disobedience toward God. Talk about being spiritually blind, saying, who are you to tell us we need to be free? We've never been in bondage. Oh, these chains, those are Roman. Like, are you kidding me? This is the epitome of spiritual blindness. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus said, answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Before we unpack this, I want to go to another passage of Scripture. Because the Apostle Paul, who was formerly Saul of Tarsus, he understood this promise of freedom from sin. He personally experienced it. And so then when he writes in the book of Romans, when he says this, you understand why he would say this. Romans 6, 17, 18, and 22. But he says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine for which you were delivered. He said, or it made you free because you believed the truth. Next. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verse 22, he emphasizes it again. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end of it all, you get everlasting life. God's promise of freedom, it comes as we believe Jesus. As we believe who he is and what he came to do, that opens the door. And then as we abide in Jesus, we know what the truth is. And when we know what the truth is, the truth makes us free. And it doesn't just make us free, it makes us free indeed. There's an exclamation point attached to that promise. Paul says, yeah, you've been set free, past tense. It's done, over, and settled. And now, Paul says, you get to live a whole life, a holy life, right here, right now. And then, when this life is over, you get everlasting life forever in the kingdom of God. This is God's promise of freedom. It starts with faith in Jesus, abiding in Jesus, knowing Jesus' truth, letting that truth make you free and make you free indeed, to transform your life into living a whole and holy life and then eternal life forever. This is the promise of freedom. It is freedom from sin's power over you. Listen to this. Freedom from sin's power. It means that things that tempt you and try to get you convinced that you don't have power over that sin and that slavery, that they're lying. It means that that temptation doesn't have power over you unless you let it. Things that come to tempt, that come to bind and oppress and enshackle and imprison you, things that seek to destroy you, sin that seems to steal, kill, and destroy. Paul says, sin shall not have any more power over you. It's been said so many times, the greatest mission field is within the four walls of the church. This is a message, listen to me, friends, not just for, you know, drug addicts like I used to be. This is for respectable church people who live bound with their nice clothes and nice cars. Who live in secret sin, who live in bondage and misery and plaster it on to show up on Sunday morning. There's more to all of this than that. Please hear me. Freedom from sin's power. Freedom from sin's penalty. I mean, fill in the blank with this one. The penalties of living a life that is just dominated by sin. The guilt and the shame and the fear and the death and everything that comes with it. Jesus said, I have come to deliver you from sin's power and sin's penalty. You don't have to live like that anymore. I've come to turn your world around and upside down and right side up. I've come to do something real and not religious. Jesus came, friends, to free mankind from sin's slavery with all of its various chains. That's a promise. Jesus either came to do this or he didn't. And there have been far too many people, including myself and hundreds listening to me today, thousands listening today, who have been set free by Jesus. Not perfect people, but people who don't live under the power of sin or the penalty of sin. They know that Jesus is real. The only explanation for their transformed life is Jesus Christ has come to set them free. Yes. Now, friends, I want to say briefly to those of us who are free and have been set free. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, to stand fast in the liberty with which we have been set free, and don't go back to a yoke of bondage. Amen. Too many followers of Jesus haven't stood fast in their liberty. They have relinquished and forfeited their liberty in Christ. They have gone back to letting things have, sinful things have power over them. They live under the daily penalty of it. Listen. If you're here and you had freedom at one time in your life and you need to get it back today. Amen. Get it back today. Why wait? Why put it off? Get it back today. The person behind freedom is God in Jesus. The promise of freedom, it's been declared. It's been guaranteed by God himself. And we've seen how powerful this freedom already is and how it expresses itself and what it does for people. But I read this story and I just thought, man, this is one of those stories that although it is natural in its proclamation. It is gospel in its reality. It is a this is that thing. There was a Reuters wire telegram that was actually sent out on May 13th of 1888, describing something that had happened 3 days earlier on May 10th, 1888. Look at this. Here's what the Reuters wire said. The Brazilian Chamber of Deputies has voted for the immediate, unconditional abolition of slavery. May 10th, 1888. That's when it happened in Brazil. Now look at those words. The Brazilian Chamber of Deputies, their Congress, if you will, took a vote, and here's what they said. There needs to be an immediate, unconditional abolition of slavery. Friends, that's the gospel. Dave Bean, that's the gospel. The gospel says there has been an immediate, unconditional abolition of the slavery of sin. I read this, man, it just got all over me. I haven't preached for 5 weeks. I've been going nuts. Can we just talk about those words for a minute as we look at this? The immediate. It means now. It means no waiting. It means that as this vote was taken and passed, there is freedom from slavery now, they said in Brazil. I couldn't help but remember that Jesus is referred to as the immediate Jesus. Because the word immediate or immediately is constantly associated with the miraculous work that he does. Jesus immediately healed lepers. He immediately healed the blind. He immediately delivered from fevers. He immediately healed the afflicted. He immediately healed the paralyzed. He immediately healed the deaf. He immediately raised the dead. Immediate Jesus. Immediate Jesus, immediately setting people free from the slavery of sin and the consequences of a fallen, broken world. Immediate Jesus. An immediate end to slavery in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul, again, understanding the immediacy of this freedom. He says it like this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Speaking of God in Christ, he said, he has delivered us. It means he has set us free. From what? From the power of darkness, and he has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, but just to make sure we really understand what he's saying, he says then he conveyed us or he translated us. This is language that bespeaks the immediacy of the freedom. It happens like that. There is no waiting. This isn't something where I come to Christ and 6 months from now, if I attend church enough or give enough money, he might think about setting me free. No, he's an immediate Jesus. And he immediately sets people free from sin slavery. Unconditional. Number two, they voted to have an immediate and unconditional. It means that there was no cost or burden that was put on the slave in order for him to be or her to be free. There was nothing that was put upon them in terms of responsibility. There was no burden placed on them that said, listen, we're going to set people free, but you've got to do these five things first. There is an immediate and unconditional end to this slavery. Because The price has been paid for you by someone else. It is unconditional upon us. It is there for the asking. It is there for the taking. The price has already been paid. Peter says it like this, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. It wasn't silver or gold that delivered you or redeemed you from your aimless, sinful conduct, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you want to know why your freedom is unconditional to you? It is because Jesus Christ paid the price of his own precious blood that you might be set free. Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And when he did that, he redeemed us, which literally means to be purchased out of slavery. Jesus did it. If you're in need of deliverance and freedom this morning, and you think, oh my gosh, I don't got what it takes to be free, you're right. But Jesus does. And he paid the price on Calvary 2,000 years ago. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? When you're sick and broken and bound and afflicted, I'll tell you what you do. You get to it as quick as you can and appropriate it over your life so those prison doors will open, the shackles will drop, and you walk out a brand new person in Christ. It is the immediate, unconditional abolition of slavery. The abolition of slavery. It means that as of May 10th, 1888 in Brazil, that slavery ceased to exist. It wasn't, okay, we're gonna let everybody who's a slave up to this point free, but then continue slavery. No, 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 no. Slavery's done. It's over with. Go free. Choose your freedom. Quit living like a slave. I mean, we look at this just with natural eyes, friends. What would it be crazy? It would be insane, right? To be a slave? To know that freedom was yours unconditionally? Doesn't cost you anything? You just need to walk in it? And yet to stay a prisoner. Bound and shackled. Why would anybody do that? You know, that's the case of every lost person. Freedom's been purchased. It's yours for the taking. It's unconditional. Slavery has been abolished by Jesus. All you got to do is say, I want it. I want it. I want to be free. I don't want sin's power and penalty stealing, killing, and destroying my life anymore. The immediate, unconditional abolition of slavery. The Apostle Paul says it like this in Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall not. Why not? Because I've been set free by the freedom giver. Who came to deliver from oppression, who came to open prison doors, who came to set people free. Listen, I wanna say one more time, I said it in passing earlier, that I'm not telling you you're gonna live a perfect, sinless life from this point on, but what I am saying, sin shall not have dominion over you. You and I do not need to live under habitual practice of sin. Where it defines our life, where it's the rule of our life, rather than the rare exception. Sin shall not have dominion over you, the child of God who's been set free, because there has been an abolition of slavery. It is unconditional to you because Jesus paid the price, and it is immediate if you'll take it. Now, I understand that there might be some people here that don't get all this. I was trying to put myself back in time before I had experience with church and the Bible. I can look back now and see what God was doing in my life when he was setting me free. But I don't know that I would have fully understood a message like this. The truth is, I never heard a message like this. I longed to hear a message like this. But as God by himself, I didn't have Christian friends. I didn't have anybody witness to me. When God himself started dealing with my life, I started to realize that the price, as we said, had already been paid. That we have redemption and the purchasing out of slavery through the blood of Jesus. This is the process. Here's how this works. It starts with realizing the price has been paid, that a promise has been made. That it's for you. It really is for you. And the promise is, believe. Believe. Abide. Let the truth come into your heart and into your spirit. Know the truth. Watch the truth set you free with an indeed exclamation point type of freedom. Let that happen. Be powerfully, miraculously set free. I looked back over my life and realized that as these things started to happen, okay, the price has been paid, and you know, God's at work here. God's moving powerfully. There's a promise that if I'll say yes to him, something good will happen. And in the midst of this, hey, it's hard to make individual points because all these go together at the same time, but grace then, the active power of God's goodness begins to work on our hearts. He begins to move on our hearts. He begins to woo us and call us and invite us. He begins to convict us of our slavery, of our sin. He begins to convince us of his goodness and his power. Before I knew and could understand this, I remember having conversations with God saying, if I'm not good enough in my current condition, I don't want to go to heaven. Talk about blind. Mike, talk about blind. Grace of God, wooing, calling, inviting, convicting, and convincing. There's something going on in me. Where is this coming from? I don't have a bunch of Christian friends. I don't go to Young Life at school campus. Where is this coming from? It's God, by his Spirit, in unusual ways. Listen to me. If you think it's weird, the thoughts that you're having and the feelings and the stirring that's happening in your heart, it's okay. It's God, I'm telling you. It is the grace of God who is wooing you to himself so that you can be set free. The price has been paid. The promise has been made. Grace is at work. That's what God's doing. Now here's where you come in. Here's where you come in. You gotta go. I'm a slave, aren't I? You gotta admit it. You gotta admit you're a slave. Because if you're like the Jews in the story that we read, when they said, who are you to tell us we need to be set free? We've never been in bondage. While they're in bondage, how many of you know you can't be set free until you admit you're in prison? If you're in prison thinking you're free, guess where you're going to die? Right there, behind the prison doors. As the grace of God begins to move on your life and you're realizing you've got to make life change and eternal life decisions, it is the grace of God. Respond to the grace of God. Admit that you've been enslaved. And then accept, listen to me, accept your freedom without hesitation, reservation, or negotiation. Amen. Accept your freedom. It's there for you. It's not just for the person next to you. It's there for you. Accept it. Quit doubting, quit hesitating, quit waiting and putting it off. Quit being so reserved and cautious and, yeah, I don't know, you know. Don't negotiate. Again, one of my favorite things in the Bible is what it doesn't say. So many of us are familiar with the story of the prodigal son. He goes to his dad and says, Dad, give me my inheritance now while you're still alive. And the father goes, all right, kid, here you go. Gives him boatloads of money, and the kid goes out and blows it on every drug-induced rave party and prostitute he can find. Blows his inheritance. He's in spiritual prison. This young Jewish boy ends up living with the pigs in their slop. How many of you know it's not a good place for a kosher kid to be in with the hogs? Sammy, but something happened to him. The scripture says he came to his senses and said, I will arise and go to my father. There was no hesitation. There was no reservation. And there was no negotiation. You know, I think maybe I'll just get out of the pig mud and find a nice woman to clean me up. You know, I think I'll get out of doing the pigs, but just move on to sheep. I think eventually when I start really doing well for myself and I won't be so embarrassed, at that point, then I will go back to my dad and let him see how good I am. It doesn't say any of that. What it says, Pat, is this kid said, I've come to my senses. This blows. This ain't any good. I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna run back home to my dad because I know there my life can be restored and forgiven and I can be set free from this. You see, you gotta respond without hesitation, without reservation, without negotiation. Just go! Return to your father. Come to your senses. Get free. Remember the story of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angels came and told Lot, Lot, this place is going to burn. It's time for you to flee. Hurry up. Escape. Get out of this. You don't see the attitude of putting off freedom and negotiating and operating with reservation. You don't see that in scripture. You see Jesus calling people and it says, and immediately they came. Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree. And immediately he came and followed him. Accept your freedom and do it now. The Apostle Paul said it like this. Behold, now. Would y'all say now? Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is freedom, deliverance, and healing. It's now. Behold it. Apprehend it. Accept it. Get it. The writer of the book of Hebrews said it like this. Today, like now. If you hear God's voice, if you understand that He's speaking to you, that He's stirring your heart, that His grace is operating in you to woo you to the place of freedom. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Don't double down and lock down and, no, I'm not gonna, no, I'm never gonna, I'm not gonna admit anything. I'm not gonna say that I'm enslaved by sin. I'm not gonna say that I had freedom, but now I've relinquished it and forfeited my freedom, and now I'm bound. I'm not gonna say any of that. Don't harden your heart. Because every single time any of us harden our heart toward what God is wanting to do, it gets that much easier to harden your heart the next time He knocks. It gets that much easier to say no every single time you say no. Don't say no. Don't harden your heart when He's speaking and His grace is moving. The fact of the matter, friends, is this: the immediate, unconditional abolition of slavery awaits you. Freedom awaits you. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it more than your hesitation? Do you want it more than your reservation? You want it more than your negotiation? He's promised it. It's there. Do you want it? Crampton, do you want it? So here we go. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that came to give freedom, I trust that You have been speaking and moving on people's hearts as they've heard the word of God. I trust You've been wooing them, drawing them, speaking to them, convicting them, convincing them of the freedom You have and the freedom they need. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that You would so move on people's hearts that with both courage and humility, they would say, I need freedom. I need the kingdom of God to come and invade my world and set me free from sin's slavery. Now, wherever you're at in this campus, for those of you who are watching online, wherever you're at, right now is the moment of truth. Don't harden your heart. You want something spiritual, supernatural, miraculous to happen in your life right here, today, right now. You're ready for that. Right where you're at. Right where you're at. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor Steve, that's me. With humility and courage, yeah, that's me. Raise your hand up. Keep it up. Hold it up. Good, 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 good. Who else? Many of you. Good, 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 good. 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 Don't get ripped off. Don't get ripped off. Now listen to me. For those of you that raised your hand, and I'm going to wait for the people in the balcony. We are going to pray for you this morning. We want to lay hands on you in a good way. We're not going to embarrass you or shame you in any way. We're not even going to ask you to do anything. We want to pray for you. And so that you can have your own kind of stake in the ground moment, that's what this is about. I'm going to ask every one of you that raised your hand, come right now. Come right here. Come down right now to the altar. And we want to pray for you. This is real. This is important. This is eternal. It's supernatural. miraculous, every one of you that raised your hand, come on down right now. I want some prayer team members, some pastors, and some elders to come right now. If every person that raised their hand comes, we're gonna be busy. Come. Come on. Come on, if someone's kneeling down, come stand behind them. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Who else are we talking to this morning? Come. Come on. Your heart's beating out of your chest. You know you should be down here. I'm telling you, that's the grace of God wooing your heart. Do not say no to him. Come on. That's right. Let it out, pal. Just let it out, every bit of it.
Here we are. Here we are. The broken and used, mistreated, abused. Here we are. Here you are.
Remedy indeed. I don't know what your issue is. The people praying for you, I'm sure, don't know what your issue is, but those of you who have come forward, wherever you are online, wherever you are down in the chapel, listen to me. God knows what your issues are. He knows where you are imprisoned. He knows where you are enslaved. And he knows how to set you free. Do you believe him to do it? That's the issue. Do you believe that he's good enough and strong enough? Do you believe that he's good enough to do that? Now listen, friends, there's a bunch of different ways that we could do this morning, but we're gonna at least do it this way. Every one of you who came forward for freedom from sin and slavery, every one of you, like from your heart, I don't mean with reservation or hesitation, but like from your heart, you out loud right now, you just say, Jesus, set me free. Come on, come on. Jesus, set me free. Like you want to be set free. Like you're in prison and he's the jailer with the key. Jesus, set me free. I believe you to do it. I thank you for doing it, Lord. Set these precious people free, oh God. Every chain, every shackle, every bit of bondage, oh God, bust it in the name of Jesus. Have them walk out of this place changed forever, healed by your power, delivered by your grace. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, do it, oh God. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, if you've never done that, and just right now, listen, in your own words, he understands. Say, Jesus, save me. I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. I turn to you. Forgive me and deliver me. Set me free. Say something like that from your heart. He gets it. There was a thief that hung next to him on the cross, and he just said, Jesus, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? That's all he said, and Jesus said to him, I'm telling you, you will be with me in paradise. Because contained in that prayer was the heart of sorrow and repentance and desperation for God's goodness. Jesus, free me. I want you and I need you and I'm sorry. Free me. Now, friends, why don't you just begin to thank him? Why don't you just right now begin to thank him? Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, Pastor Steve, how do you know I'm free? I know you're free because he said you are. And because you've responded to him. And because he's the immediate Jesus. Jesus, thank you. 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 Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask those of you who are praying with someone, I hope that and pray it looks that way. I want every person who's come forward to have a hand on them. Just continue to love and encourage them. Church family, is anybody here glad for what the Lord did today? Does anybody here want to love with and stand and support these precious people? Can we tell them that we're for them and not against them, that they're welcome here? Yes. Yes. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, just continue your work on these precious ones. Prayer partners and altar workers, you just continue to minister right here. And we'll just kind of let this unfold a little bit. Have a sweet closing song. What do you got brewing? Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. So while these folks continue to get ministered to, I was just reminded we need to worship God in our giving. So somehow, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. You can make ready, and here we go. So, ushers, come on. I want to tell you a story while y'all are making ready. I got both an email and a phone call just in the last few days from my friend Bob Perry. I know many of you know Bob. He said, Steve, you know, when we started Sacred Assembly 2.5 years ago, when we called people to downtown Nashville to pray and to seek God and to stand in the gap for our state and our country, he said that opened a door for us to minister to the governmental leadership down in Coffee County, Manchester area, and where Bonnaroo happens. he said, and opened a door for us to be able to start to minister in Bonnaroo as a result of Sacred Assembly. And he just sent me an email. They had a team of people down there for all of Bonnaroo. He said, Steve, you need to know, because of what Sacred Assembly did and the seed that it planted, they prayed with 750 young people to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's incredible. It's incredible. So I want to tell you, your giving makes a difference. So y'all just figure it out. Ushers, figure it out. And God bless you all. We love you. We'll see you soon.
You can have my heart, whatever the cost. You can have my
presence fall.